What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's always here. He's just a giant mole on the side of my neck, but we love him for it. He is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
Oh, that's so sweet. And yes, I am here, often against my will. But it's always a good time to be here on the show with
Very
you.
Difficult for me to do this, to hold you, like, to force you to do this when you're so far away. But I do it. I get it done somehow.
Social distancing. You can't come near me.
Yeah, we've been social distancing on this show for like 3.5 years. It's great.
That was our friendship for a long time, too.
Yeah, socially distanced. Yeah. We did it. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
For those of you that are new to the Dual Screens Gamescast, this is a show where Andy and I go over the top stories from the big three companies, and we debate who had the best and worst week, as well as discussing video games past, present, and future. The Gamescast posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including Podbean. We also are on youtube.com/DualScreensTV, and the show posts live on twitch.tv/DualScreenStreams every single Sunday. That's when we record it. Every single week. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find everything that we do on dualscreens.com. And on this week's show, well, it's been a pretty crummy news all around. Sony had a leak. Nintendo had a leak. We all had a leak. It's going to be a very leaky show. Everything has gone to hell. But before we get into the show, let's tell you about our other shows that we have on this very same channel. That's right. You don't have to subscribe anywhere else. This isn't the only show we do here. We also do the Dual Screens Podcast. That's an interview show where we bring on industry guests, whether they're voice actors or game developers or programmers, artists, whatever it is. We bring them on to talk about their craft, to talk about their project, to talk about their career. And that posts each and every Thursday. And we just posted on this past Thursday an episode with Mark Venturelli for Relic Hunters Legend /Relic Hunters Zero Remix. It was a really, really good show. We got pretty deep very quickly in that show. So if you're interested in game development and how games are made and the people that make them, that's a really, really cool show. We also started our brand new seasonal content. We started the it's called Dual Screens Versus. And that is a show where Andy and I debate various topics that are centric to a guest moderator. And our first guest moderator was John Pud Panapinto. He is the creator and host of the Nothing Podcast with Nobody Important, which is a fantastic show. So if you're looking for a really funny, in-depth conversation, it's very Joe Rogan-like, but they bring on people you don't that aren't celebrities. They bring on like your garbage man or a local doctor or even a Broadway star. A teacher. Like, they bring these people on and they talk about their lives and why they're important. Which is the irony of the name of the show. That show, again, our show, the Dual Screens Versus posts each every other Friday. So we're going to be alternating on YouTube. We're going to have Dual Screens Versus on one Friday, and then the following Friday we're going to have Dual Screens First Plays, which I'm going to be calling First Play Fridays. There you go. That's how I remember it. So this week you're going to have a First Play Fridays. Last week we had the Dual Screens Versus show. So enjoy it. It's been getting rave reviews. We have a slew of guest moderators lined up. I think I have booked 3, and I have 4 more maybes that I'm just working on. So it's pretty much the whole season is already booked. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton, the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. That's what makes all of this possible, especially in this trying time. So if you do have a dollar that you want to, use to support your, independent podcasters, independent content creators, please, please consider doing that. All right. So Andy.
Hello, Steven.
Before we get into the official adventures in gaming.
Great job, by the way. Great, great job.
Thanks. I feel like I hit that, like I nailed that hog.
You did really well. I'm very impressed with that. Strong work.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go over really quickly what is new to the YouTube channel as far as the content, because you put out yourself a little top 5 video. So why don't you tell the listeners about it?
Yeah, you know, so I've been just obsessed with Final Fantasy VII these past couple of weeks. Is it 2 weeks now? 3? I forgot how long it's been. But I was playing it and then I had an idea for a top 5 best moments in the game, but compared to how they were, like ones that were similar in the first game and how they carried over in this remake. So I did that, threw it up. Two things I learned. It took a long time to do, like a week and a half of work, I felt. Mm-hmm. And it, I said before we spoke offline that I really appreciate all the work you do for the channel with the VO and the editing, because at one point it was like, is there like an opposite postpartum depression, like a postpartum joy? Because once it was out, I was like, I was thrilled beyond belief. I was out the door, I was out of the oven, it was out of my snatch. I was like, yes, it's out there. Fuck it. I don't care if it dies. It's there. I did my job.
Right.
But then you
instantly have to think of the next one.
Right. But at least now I learned some things about Premiere and After Effects, which I'm getting a little bit snazzier at as of late.
Yeah.
Making little title cards and sound effects and all funky things.
It's real tough, but you made a nice little video. I liked it a lot. It's getting some traction. So if you want to watch that, head over to youtube.com/dualscreensTV. And you can watch that. We have other stuff going up. My next video, which is going to go up next Saturday, is also going to be Final Fantasy related. Not necessarily Final Fantasy VII related, but Final Fantasy related. So please be excited for that. And now it is time for the coolest future t-shirt of dualscreens.com, and that is the Adventures in Gaming! 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 Andy, what you been playing?
It was 7 gamings.
Yes.
All right. So, again, Final Fantasy VII, but I'm playing 4 games right now simultaneously.
Interesting.
I'm playing 7 Remake.
Okay.
So, I'm on my second playthrough now on hard mode.
Right.
I'm at chapter 13. And I thought to myself, you know, I've beaten the original game only once, and now this remake twice. Seems a little wrong. Because I loved the first one so much, and it is on the PS4. So I thought, you know, I could play the old game and maybe do an analysis of how the scenes have translated over between the old and the new version. So I'm playing that, and I'm replaying Crisis Core on the PSP, and I'm playing Dirge of Cerberus on the PS2 emulator. So I'm just all up in Final Fantasy VII universe right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I didn't play much of Dirge of Cerberus.
Crisis Core. Now I played Crisis Core, and I think I beat Crisis Core. That was an action RPG, right?
Right. It was a lot. It looked a lot like what this game looks like, in a sense. Mm-hmm. It was like a hack and slash, but you had buttons assigned to magic and dodge and block.
Yeah.
There was no there was an active time bar? I don't remember. But see, I beat that game once, but in Japanese. So I have no idea what the story's about.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. After playing it in English, you're still not going.
Yeah, I'll probably be more confused when I play it in English, but that's what I'm playing.
For sure.
Playing these days.
Interesting.
And yourself?
Okay. Yeah. Pretty much the same stuff. I've been playing Animal Crossing. I bought my turnips. I bought almost 700 grand worth of turnips today.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. I'm going.
Not turnips.
It was a lot of turnips. I'm enjoying that. I'm still playing your Final Fantasy. I'm not done yet, but I will be very shortly. I gotta adjust my camera while I'm talking. What else? Predator Hunting Grounds. I'm gonna jump into very soon. I didn't feel like buying it this weekend because I wanted to finish Final Fantasy first. But yeah, I mean that's really it. I haven't really dug into anything new. I don't think. I have some things that I'm saving for first play videos, which I'm gonna record this week. I'm trying to record 3 of them just so I could have them in the can and just edit them and get them ready to go. But yeah, that's really it. That's all I've been really doing. But there's been a lot of news to follow, which has been concerning. But before we get into the news,
to say the least,
before we get into the news, we are not doing in a minute of Apex with Steve, cause I have not played Apex all week. So you're lucky. But let's talk about what's new at dualscreens.com before we move on, because, Thorn has been doing an excellent work over there. Not only with his reviews, but he's been doing a lot of interviews and interesting stuff. And he did a behind the commentary table, an interview with Evan Hashimoto, who apparently is still commentating esports, even in this, COVID-19 universe that we're living in. So if you want to know how a commentator is doing that in this day and age, what's going on, go over to the website dualscreens.com and check out the article. Give him a click, because he put a lot of work into it, and it's a really nice interview. Let's move on. Let's get into the news here. Starting with our indie news update, we have a couple of stories. One is breaking that was just shared with me.
Yeah, I just saw that and
via our chat.
I can't wait to get into that one. Yeah,
indeed. So Andy, why don't you take the first one, then I'll do the second one.
Sure. So developer Atui, who made such games as Chicken Wiggle, they had a Kickstarter a few years back, which I support because I like that game, called Chicken Wiggle Workshop. It was Chicken Wiggle, mm-hmm. but with updated graphics, mm-hmm. and now with a level editor added to it.
Perfect.
And apparently, over the last 3 years or so, the developer thought, you know what? The game is awesome. It's great. But if you're a newcomer, this title seems a little confusing. Okay. What the hell is Chicken Wiggle Workshop? It sounds like not a game. So the name was changed.
Chicken Wiggle Workshop kind of sounds like a child daycare center.
Right. Right. Or, you know, the best porn you never saw before.
Sure. There's that.
So the game is now called Hatch Tales. And just for those who are all into details, the main character, Chicken, his name is also now changed to Hatch. So it's Tails.
Wow, retconning history.
I know. I was just like, okay, this is news. Where's the game that I backed 3 years ago?
Interesting.
So there's that. There's that. Yours seems way more exciting, by the way.
Yeah, there's a a breaking news here. Mm-hmm. I already have it open, so no sense in opening. Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl is coming to Switch. Interbang Entertainment is bringing Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl to Switch, according to the eShop eShop listing. The side-scrolling brawler will release digitally on May 7th. Plays Jay and Silent Bob in a retro 8-bit side-scrolling brawler. Go solo or team with a friend. Pummel enemies with hard-hitting combos, dash attacks, and elbow drops, as well as a random assortment of weapons as you battle your way out of the mall and back to the quick stop. And I want to watch this. And I'm gonna
Dude, it looks like River City Ransom. No joke.
That is perfect. Yeah, there it is.
Like, I thought it was a ROM hack of River City Ransom when I saw the video.
Yes, that looks great. Oh, that's so exciting.
So we're playing this at some point, right?
Oh, man, it's like... It's on the set of Mallrats. That's great.
Right.
Like the dating
So
show
it has thing. To happen.
Perfect.
Like, yeah. I will come to your house in a PPE to play this game with you when it comes out in 2 weeks.
That's scary. I don't like that. Snoochie Boochies, ladies and gentlemen. Snoochie.
Snoogans. I mean, what took so long for an official Jay and Silent Bob game?
They make it seem like this game is a game already. I don't know. Is it out for something? Before, or is it just like, hey, it's coming to Switch and it's only, I don't know, that's weird. All right, so before we get into the Dual Screens report, which is where we decide who the winners and losers are of the week, let's talk about the stories that weren't big enough to make them to be the headliners. All right, let's get on to the nitty gritty here. Mm-hmm. Andy, hit us with our first Sony story.
Dude, it was a big news for Cloud and Company. Mm. So the official sales figures are for Final Fantasy VII Remake, and 3 days of sales have broken the exclusive PS4 fastest selling game, which was Spider-Man at 3.3 million mm-hmm. in 3 days. This game is 3.5 million sales in 3 days.
Nice.
Which, when you think about, it launched in a really weird time with Corona and like getting to a GameStop to
and
buy the game
it up earlier too.
Right, then other places got it sooner than that launch window. So I'm guessing it's way more than that figure is reporting. But that's a huge milestone. And just to add to that bit of news, Sony, for the first time in I think a long time, is overtaking the Switch in sales.
Mm.
Both and globally, so here in Japan, everywhere. So last week alone, they sold 250,000 units globally.
Quarter of a
compared to 170,000 compared to 175,000 Switch.
Hey, could Steven. Be could be because there's not a lot of Switch out there, you know.
Right. So they're taking advantage of the shortage, which is right. You know in there. But do you know what the Xbox One sold last week?
You
should guess
globally.
Yeah, globally.
All right, so if Switch was at 179,
175.
I'm going to put the Xbox One family of consoles at
yes, all of them.
45,000.
Okay. That's a little bit more dire than the actual figure, but still, you're close.
Okay.
58,000 units globally.
58,000 units
globally. Right. Yeah.
Just 200,000 units less than
PlayStation. And just 86 of those were in Japan, just so you're aware.
86 of them.
Yeah, a whopping 86 were in Japan.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
But you know what? Where Sony takes like three steps forward, they have to take some steps backwards because it's just what they do. It's who they are. And this has got to be the most bizarre thing.
Wait, this feels backwards to you?
This is the weirdest. If this is a
weird
thing,
yes, but not backwards.
If this is a thing they do, this is most certainly backwards. We don't need this. Ladies and gentlemen, Sony has patented a robotic gaming companion that reacts to your emotions. Okay. Okay, I want to get to the quote here. The patent explains that the robot has a love index, which will be affected by how the user speaks to the robot in moments of tension. When asked to be charged, if the player doesn't charge the robot quickly, it will evaluate that the player does not love it, and will react in a similar fashion if it's kicked around instead of being stroked, or if the user tells the robot that it's being noisy.
Stroked is a really inopportune word to use in this scenario.
If it feels unpopular, it will no longer empathize with the player during gameplay. A conscious action made to make the user reflect on their attitude and treat the robot more kindly in the future. It could also help to improve, quote, life rhythm, and will tell users to go to bed. It is going to be a companion that sits on your couch, watches you play video games, sees your behavior while playing video games, reacts accordingly to your behavior. It's essentially a sibling.
It sounds like my first boyfriend.
Sure. That's also a thing. It is the stupidest thing. And again, patents don't all happen, obviously.
Right. So there's two things I want to say here. The first thing was I read the description. It says it's fuzzy. Is it a plush stuffed animal?
Right. Yes.
It looks like a chicken nugget from the drawing.
Yes. The drawing makes it look like a nugget or like a cloud or like a we don't want to get in trouble from Apple poop emoji.
So that was a win for me because it's like,
yeah,
I want chicken nuggets. And the second thing is, how soon till someone has sex with this thing is what I want to know.
Someone's going
to fuck it.
Oh yeah, it's gonna happen. There's no escaping that, unfortunately. All right, Andy, take the next one. This is gonna come from Nintendo Land.
Oh yeah, so we have some more data mines in Animal Crossing World this week, and you know, we had a nice bit of news last week with new additions and things to get excited
which
about.
Happened. Some of these additions have already happened.
Right.
The art gallery isn't.
I think it's all sort of confirmed. True, which I read about that. Apparently, there's like an art thing, and you can buy real or fake art.
Yes,
you to get to the gallery.
Yes, you need to study the art. And,
yeah,
and if it looks off to you, it's probably fake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can only buy one of the three pieces that are on display. So it's like they may all three be real. Like the ones today that I looked up, they were all real. Mm-hmm. So I just picked one. But yeah, it's definitely
that's pretty neat.
An interesting
I'm into
mechanic.
That. That's neat. But this one is not as exciting. So apparently the spawn rates for tarantulas and scorpions have been nerfed. So there's a whole chart here which looks like math. And this is like, it reads like quarantine day 5 to me when you look at it. It's just columns of the insects in the entire game and their spawn rates. And the ones in red have gone down and the ones in green have gone up. So... tarantula spiders have gone down, so if you're afraid of spiders in tarantulas, then you're in luck, and this is not news.
Yes, you're lucky. Well, the reason why this is news is because what people were doing was if you go to the Nook, like Mystery Island, and you chop down all the trees, you get rid of all the plants, all the rocks, if you get rid of everything and you just leave plain land, then tarantulas will spawn like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that's a good thing is that they go for a ridiculous amount of bells each. I think it's like, I want to say like 8,500 or something bells.
Who's buying up all the tarantulas?
You just sit there and you catch them and you just fill up your whole inventory and then you go and sell them and you can make you know, 5, 6, 7.
That seems like an error. Why would something that spawns so regularly cost so much to sell?
Because they don't spawn regularly, but this was a way to make them spawn.
Right. Like okay. Crazy.
It was an exploit.
A little workaround there. Okay.
Yeah. Like one tarantula showed up. I've had a second tarantula now show up on my proper island. And I couldn't catch it because I didn't have a net. So I just ran away because they'll chase you and they'll knock you out. And then there's like the one that you're supposed to catch. Like when it first shows up, you're like, oh, yay, you caught it. But yeah, they were essentially a really easy way to make bells in the beginning before they changed the spawn thing. Now it's all about them turnips. When you have a world wide web where people could say, hey, my turnips are going for 500 a piece. You're like, yes, sir. Yes, they are. Thank you very much. I will be there shortly. People are tipping each other. It's great.
All right.
What else we got?
I think we're going to the main news segment.
Are we?
Oh no, we got one more. We got one more. This one. All right. This one. Yeah. Just take it away. This cracked me up.
Microsoft releases fan accolades trailer for Ninja Theory's fighting game Bleeding Edge. There's a first time for this is coming from Game. playmechanics.com. There's a first time for everything as Microsoft has shared an intense accolades trailer for Bleeding Edge, Ninja Theory's original 4v4 team-based fighting game, focusing solely on a bunch of highly positive reviews from fans. Yes, you read that right. This particular accolades trailer doesn't feature any critic reviews. Considering that the critical reception is not great so far, we probably will never get a real accolades trailer for Studio's take on Overwatch. The project is currently sitting at a lukewarm 67% on Metacritic. Thankfully, Bleeding Edge is also available on Xbox One and PC via Xbox Game Pass, so you can play it as much as you want for a month for only $9.99 or $1 if you haven't given the subscription service a chance. At its core, they're blah, blah, blah.
Right, so this is once again Microsoft, you know, oh, don't worry about console sales. It's all about subscription sales on Game Pass. Oh, don't worry about what critics say. If the fans like it, if Vagina Slayer 69
fans that are playing it for free really like it.
If Vagina Slayer 69 thinks it's great, then you should be on the main accolade trailer.
Whatever, man. Whoever's running their PR machine is quite the spinster. Let's just put it that way.
I know exactly who it is.
Put it that way. All right, so now it's time to get into the dual screens report. Andy, start us off with some Sony news.
Oh, boy. So this I saw. I wanted to avoid it, but there was no actual leaks in the article, so that's great. So apparently, huge chunks, or almost the entirety of The Last of Us 2 story, has leaked on the internet. And this comes to us courtesy of PushSquare.com. There were some massive leaks that emerged online. Videos galore. And to me, it seems like in this age of the Rona and folks being bored at home, maybe a bored game tester was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to release all this stuff to the wild.
This is what I think happened, Andy. Mm. I think that is similar marketing? To what happened. I think somebody was upset that they delayed it, that either worked on it or was a tester or whatever. And it's like, this will force them to release it because they don't want people to have the whole game spoiled. So It's done. It's always been done. They delayed it because of COVID, whatever. They delayed it because they didn't want to make a game about the apocalypse during an apocalypse. Maybe. I don't know. But maybe they were just like, maybe this will force them. Maybe this will force Sony's hand. Right.
Well, a few neat things that we saw amongst the huge chunks of unseen gameplay footage and cutscenes. We saw the main menu and what appeared to be an unfinished multiplayer code. So interesting. But it just sucks for the team. I mean, Sony was fast to get this all off the internet, but once it's on there, it's on there forever. So try as they might, this is probably still out there in some way, shape, or form, some mirror, some backup site.
Right.
I'm not going to watch it because I want to see what the actual game is like when it comes out for itself. But this is, again, it's a little upsetting.
The story is the best thing about that game,
right?
That franchise. So
it's a single player driven game. Right. So if the story is out there, and I think I figured it out, though, what the main spoiler for this game is going to be. Oh. I have a really wild theory about it. You ready for this?
Yes.
It's intense.
Okay.
I don't think you're ready for this.
I don't know.
Are you sitting down?
Yes, you could see that.
She's a lesbian.
Wow.
It's pretty wild, right? Yeah, I know.
Dad's going to piss off some people.
It will.
They're going to be real mad about that.
A lot of scissoring in that game.
Jeez. I think the biggest thing here is that the internet's going to internet no matter what, right? This is not going to go away no matter how quickly they snuff it out. People are going to try and spoil this for you. So if you are one of those people that doesn't want this thing spoiled for you, start muting words now on Twitter. Avoid groups on Facebook that aren't with people you trust. God, the worst offenders are YouTube people, because they'll put things in thumbnails.
They'll put random comments. Like I told you, when I saw, what was it, Endgame? And I read a spoiler that Captain America wields the Thor's hammer.
Yum, yum.
It was in a video about, it was in a pizza mukbang video.
Yeah, people are just assholes. So
you just got to watch out for all comments in general. But it just sucks. Like, it just shows that nothing is sacred and nothing is safe from this kind of shit.
No.
Like, this is one of the highest priority games for Sony. And to see a level of this, a leak of this magnitude leak out, is just stunning to me.
Speaking of leaks.
Ooh, yeah.
Nintendo has confirmed that around 160,000 accounts may have been hacked. Personal info, possibly at risk.
Oh, no.
Guess what, Andy? I was one of them.
For real?
Yes. So
Shut the fuck up.
I got a weird, the day before this broke, so this broke on Friday, so on Thursday, mm-hmm. I got a email that said, what did it say? Confirm your login or something like that. So I went to the website, I logged in, and then you could look at all your previous logins. And you, like, where you said, yes, that's me, no, that's not me. There was one from Israel that morning. Mm-hmm. And then the week before, there was one in Russia. So there were two logins on my account, each a week apart. It was on the 22nd. That's whenever that was. That's when they logged in. Wednesday. So it was Wednesday the 22nd. And I changed my password that day as well. But yeah, that sucked. But you know what? I don't tie any payment information, I don't think. I think I have to put that in manually every time I buy something, so it's not like they were going to get anything. But but yeah, let's take a look at this. Nintendo, this is coming from, this is a tweet, actually, from Robert Stephenson, at Stephenson. Nintendo Co. Limited had confirmed that 160,000 network Nintendo Network IDs and accounts have been illegally accessed. The messages regarding the reports of unauthorized Nintendo, this is a letter from them, Nintendo account access. We would like to inform you on how to secure your Nintendo account and reset your password and information. Essentially, do the two-step authentication. There's no reason why you don't do it. I do it for anything that offers it, essentially. Except when you lose your phone. And then you can't do it. That really sucks. Maltese in the chat says, yes, the thumbnail ruined Endgame for me. He was looking for a coding video, and a thumbnail ruined Endgame for him.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. This is what happens in life.
I feel your pain.
Because people are just asshats.
So Nintendo is just, I don't know what's going on with them lately, between their sales lagging and their supply shortage, and now this massive leak. It's like E3 part two. It's like, well, just leak user shit all over the internet, apparently.
I don't, like, I expect this from them. I expect
you do
this kind of, yeah, of course.
Interesting
I do.
Take. Okay.
They look at how their online works.
Does it work? Is the first question
it's
we should ask.
It's from 2003. No, it's awful. And yes, it's going to have leaks. It's going to have loopholes. It's going to have.
I think it's all held by chicken wire and hope, that entire infrastructure for Nintendo's online system.
They have a if it ain't broke, don't fix it situation. Like, they don't want to improve any sort of infrastructure.
It's broke, we can't fix it, is what the real slogan should be.
It's broke, but is it?
It's broke, question mark?
just unplug it and plug it back in. You'll be fine.
Yeah, turn it off again. That's how you do it.
Yeah, that's all.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I feel like, shit. I don't know.
You were a victim of this too.
I was, and you know, I wasn't really that scared, but I was like, "Fuck!" It's just, I want to make it a password that it's not one of my rotating like six passwords. So I made up a new one. God knows I'm going to forget what it was.
Yeah.
Hopefully my system saves it for now.
It won't.
It does, but you know, who knows when it'll stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. All right, Andy, let's move over to the Microsoft section of the Dual Screens Report. What do you got for us?
Steven, this is this week's clear winner. Mm. Never before have we had a more clear winner than this category, this bit of news from Microsoft. Now, on the most reliable source of news on r/gaming leaks and rumors,
right?
Mm-hmm. We have a thread called Microsoft Showcase.
Okay, here we go.
Which user, carp1964, posts 3 days ago. Okay, guys, Microsoft Showcase is going to happen soon enough. And I think it's time to tell you about some things you're going to expect. So out of the gate, there's this thing that's going to happen pretty soon. So in spite of that, here's some information, which very reliable, very trustworthy.
I mean, if it is, I mean, I don't know. Does this? Right. We'll ask our listeners. Go ahead.
Let me go on.
Yes, please.
I have a couple of different from my co-op connections inside dev teams, and I was able to build a picture of the showcase upon the info I got from those sources. Again, highly reliable. I will not mention obvious things such as heavy focus on Game Pass, Series X and S, and xCloud, which, by the way, will move on to sex hardware in 2020. That's right, sex hardware in 2020.
Right.
First of all, not a AAA game, Steven. Quadruple A game. This is the
wow.
real shit.
Wow.
We've added a whole new A to the factor. So Leave this is Microsoft. As real as it gets.
Changing the game.
Yep. Quadruple A game from Initiative. The game is a Perfect Dark reboot made with Coalition, Black Tusk Games. Coalition worked on Spy Action before Gears 4, but the project was canceled. Now they use materials from that game to create next-gen World of Espionage.
Oh.
So again, makes so much sense.
Oh, man, that's exciting.
We have a talented team that's taking assets
right.
from a canceled game that wasn't good enough to make in the first place
right.
to cobble together and revive one of the most sought-after IPs in gaming, a new Perfect Dark. Again, highly reliable source. But it gets better.
Please.
It is a story-driven game with MMO elements.
Oh, so we're talking about right. Destiny?
You know it.
Hell yeah,
well,
we are.
Destiny, if it was an FPS.
Right.
Oh, but it's not an FPS now, Steven. Of course not.
Oh, no, it's not.
Of course not.
Okay, do tell.
For example, in the demo, they will show you play as an agent. You get the mission to steal a document from the heavily guarded building.
Oh.
Player uses a car to drive to that building. Such details here that you never thought possible.
It is such
intricate details, things that you would know when you read them, like driving a car to a mission checkpoint, that is just unheard of in games.
Mm-hmm.
While the trip, they will show us beautiful next-gen open world with tons of simulations. Wow. Inside the building, at the same time you sneak at the room with documents, you meet another agent controlled by another player that has the same mission.
Oh.
It means that you play in your shared world
okay.
where other agents can imperceptibly he must have Googled that word.
Or it's connect, not a word.
connect and start the same mission you have, or even steal it from you.
Oh.
So there's multiple Joanna Darks walking around, or you create your own spy avatar and you're not playing as Joanna. Even better. It will create unique situations and interactions between players. Wow, this is just great. And the game will launch in 2021 to 2022 and will be one of the most expensive games that MS ever created. Wow. Just wow. But that is just
such a maze.
The tip.
Such a maze. Wow,
that is just the tip of this iceberg of leaks.
Give us the rest of the
iceberg.
The iceberg
is just dripping from every direction.
Give us more iceberg.
We got please. More. We got more. Another game is reboot of Forza Motorsport. Because if any series needed a reboot, it was Forza Motorsport.
Thank God for that.
The game will have new engine because the old one was trash, apparently. We got to get a brand new one. Like it's fucking
need,
Source.
Need new engine. Car need new engine.
One of the
Make
features of the engine is a new physics-based dirt and gravel. Holy shit.
Excellent.
Game will feature a wide variety of off-road racing, starting from some rally stages, truck off-road racing, and etc. Forza always had lots of SUVs and trucks in car lineup, so now they will use them effectively.
Oh,
so after
good.
All these years, they thought, you know, we have all these SUVs in the game. We needed proper gravel physics to really accentuate these SUVs
and to showcase
why they work so well.
I like it.
Also, the great work will be done inside championship system, whatever the fuck that means. A lot of licensed racing leagues, championships, and up to 54 cars on the track, plus pit stop and boxes simulations where players will set up their cars. Wow. Reworked multiplayer with championships and rules. They definitely target Gran Turismo Sport with new game.
Uh-huh.
Single player will be more excited. And scripted missions that will tell a lot of interesting stories about motorsport.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Steven, I've always wanted a story-driven racing game. Like a Forza story-driven racing game.
Sure.
But we have one more bit
to
go over. Now this is the creme de la creme of all of it. Last for today. But not least, period. That's a whole sentence right there. Microsoft has two more studios in their pocket now. One is from Poland, which is Techland. And that's the makers of Dead Island, those guys.
Yeah.
Yep. But the second is from Japan. Then he says, I am not sure about Japan studio. But I have some crazy idea based on info I got from Creative Assembly sources. Again, whatever that means. Now, Steven.
Yes.
It would take Microsoft to buy Japan to have an impact on the gaming scene there.
I don't know, man. The Japanese market is not a tough one to really crack. They just haven't tried. Everybody points to Blue Dragon as like the way they tried, and they were like, well, that failed. Moving on. Okay, sure. Buzz Killington in our chat says, you're being sarcastic, but car game nerds love that kind of shit. And you know what? We know, but
sure.
The guy's talking about gravel and dirt like it's the second coming of Christ.
Like, I don't mind Forza having a story mode, but do we need a story mode in Forza? It did well without it. And you don't want to saddle a weird storyline.
You don't
want to
reinvent the wheels.
The game is beautiful. It does what it does so well. It's a phenomenal racing game. It's fucking gorgeous. Just let it be well. But then we have Perfect Dark, which I feel is all the loads of horseshit in the world that this story is. Because it's just, you know, co-op connections inside Death Team.
If they want to make it, is he saying it's a reboot because we haven't seen the franchise in a long time and it's not like a proper sequel? Maybe, but it's he's describing a Perfect Dark Destiny like. That's what he's describing.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure. If that's great, that quadruple A game, go for it. But
yeah, if you want to waste all that money on like a quadruple A Perfect Dark reboot, which is a lot like Destiny, I'd rather go play Destiny, because Perfect Dark is all about story and single player, and with a fun little multiplayer on the side, I can play with my friends, but not some weird MMO shit where I'm on the same mission as my friend
is.
It
sounds a lot more like Division.
Yeah, sure.
Like doing that kind of thing, teaming up with like a squad of four. Infiltrating a base, like all
listen,
that kind of shit.
Listen, I'm not gonna lie. I would kill for a new Perfect Dark game. I miss that franchise dearly. But if this is how it's gonna look like, this is not what I want it to look like. I don't want any of this to happen. And it's gonna be a third person shooter, essentially, from what this sounds like.
It's gonna be Division. Whatever. Just do what you want to do.
Right.
Moving on to the wild card.
Oh yes.
The Fallout 76 is the game, it's the gift that just keeps on giving, Andy.
Oh, yes it is.
So you remember they had their huge update that brings in human character NPCs for the first time. Mm-hmm. It was something players were begging for, because the universe was devoid of interesting quest lines and interesting characters, because people just don't, they're not characters. People who are playing a game are not characters. Role-playing servers on MMOs were like a very special breed of people, and Fallout 76 did not have a lot of those people, especially when the servers can only hold so many people.
Five at a time.
So Fallout 76 NPCs are looting some players' corpses.
Well, you know, at least that's all they're doing to them, you know? Uh-huh.
This is coming from Kotaku. Sharing is caring, right? At least it is when the person you lend your stuff to eventually gives it back. Some Fallout 76's newly added NPCs aren't doing that, though. Thanks to a bug, they can occasionally nab your prize loot when you die and keep it for themselves. This is a quote. I was playing the riding shotgun event, and I died, and I didn't even have that gun equipped when I died. But when the friendly NPCs that come with you stole my LMG with over 1,300 rounds, wrote one player in a post on the game subreddit, just lost a BE Gatling gun when I died in riding shotgun and nearly 2,000 5mm ammo, only to find one of the NPCs now had a Gatling gun. The problem appears to be specific to event quests like Riding Shotgun and Radiation Rumble, where the NPCs can follow you into combat. There are some of the cooler missions. These are some of the cooler missions added in last week's Wastelanders expansion, since they let you interact with the characters now out in the world. Now, some players are understandably worried about playing with NPCs, as reported of the pickpocketing have spread. Others have simply made sure to leave their rarest guns at home. NPCs that can steal from players would be an interesting design choice if there is a way for players to steal their stuff back. No one's been able to successfully retrieve their stuff yet, though. Bethesda's community manager said the development team is currently investigating the bug. It seems like Fallout 76 has become self-aware and knows how shitty it is, and is now just really nailing home the point.
This is just a parody, a game of itself. I mean, how do you fuck up a franchise this huge on this level? It boggles the mind. Like, you and I were debating for a long time to play the original game when it came out, uh-huh, a year or two back, and we stayed away for a good reason. Uh-huh. It just keeps getting worse. What is this? How?
I really...
And an oversight of this magnitude, when the NPCs...
I'm gonna
reads
pose a
like an onion piece. Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Pose away. Go ahead.
Does the utter disaster that is Fallout 76 make you apprehensive to the next Elder Scrolls game?
Yes, because Fallout, like I said before, it's a big franchise, and Bethesda is a big time publisher and developer. Mm-hmm. If they can fuck up one of their most iconic and favorite franchises,
beloved franchises,
to that extent, mm-hmm, do I trust them to get the next Elder Scrolls right? Who is testing these games? Why are they going out so broken? And is this a very late April Fool's joke? Because that's what it feels like. But again, now here's the weird trade-off for me. I sort of like it when a big company fucks up on a big visible scale like this, mm-hmm, because there's this accountability thing happening where people are looking at your game and they see how bad it is, and you're not some indie developer that can just run away in a corner and just say, okay, I'll do better next time with my small audience. There's legions of fans.
Yep.
And all the eyes are on you, and you would think after the game launched the way it did with such a huge backlash that they get it right at some point, but for it to be getting, tell you about their work ethic?
I don't know if, like, I've heard good things about this expansion. I feel like this is just kind of like the gorilla in the room. Mm-hmm. But what I feel like kind of happened was, like, hey, we have Doom. Mm-hmm. We have Elder Scrolls being, you know, in development.
Yeah, it's Fallout, yeah.
Fallout 76, probably.
In the back burner, yeah.
You know, whatever. Let's pull all the really talented people off of Fallout 76. Let's let our younger team go in there and continue to update the game because it's out. There's nothing we could change about that. While we still have a player base, go out there, make content, make a name for yourself in the Bethesda family. You know, you do a great job on this, then we'll move you over to the, you know, Elder Scrolls or whatever. Oh, and they still have Elder Scrolls Online.
And if you don't, we'll rob your corpse when we're done killing you in the back.
So it could just be a thing, and especially everybody working remotely, I'm assuming, can't be easy. I don't know. I feel like they mismanaged almost every single aspect of that game. And I think they should do the opposite of what I think they're doing. And I think they should put their best people on this, get one perfect, excellent piece of content out for the game that changes everything in a positive way.
That will carry it, you know, to really make it sell a little bit more.
It needs a Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn,
touch. Yeah.
Started over. Here it is. We're sorry. Here's a gajillion gold to all the people that stayed with us.
And you know what, to your point, if that's the case where all the with the A team is out making the Elder Scrolls 6,
I would have to imagine that's
the case. Yeah, well, if that's the case, that game has no release date. I'm sure it's coming out in the next 2 years. It's a next gen game, I imagine.
I would say 2023.
You can't, if that's the case, pull off just a small fraction of really good of your top quality talent that can work on a small, it's a DLC little add on. Like, here's, work on a nice, structured, well put together add-on, make this game sell. Because the game's already out, and if you push it now, it might find a new audience, might do better for itself. But this is like, it's become the, this is Bethesda's Mass Effect now, I feel, because it's getting bad. It's getting real bad.
I mean, or just let it die, but
yeah,
whatever. You don't want to let it die, that's fine, then do it right. All right.
Oh, Nelly.
So who are the biggest winners and losers of the week? There's not a lot of winners here.
Well, here's my take, right? I have a hot take. Hope you appreciate it. Biggest loser, Sony. Sorry, bro. It's one of your most, like, it's your most anticipated game of the year, which was delayed twice now, and a massive leak gets online. Fucking get your shit together. Get it together. And the biggest winner is going to be Bethesda, because actually the players of this game, because if this game gave you that story, you're a winner. If your corpse was looted, then you are a winner, is you.
Then the intention of the game has been fully realized. Yes. It is alive and it stole your shit.
Just like how your shit was leaked and hacked on Nintendo.
And this was going to be one of the other questions I was going to ask you. If this stuff about Microsoft, about Forza and Perfect Dark, if they are true, it really does not excite me whatsoever.
No, it doesn't. It actually makes me less excited for those two games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a racing game guy, so whatever, fine. Right. But I think a complete new engine is the wrong choice for a game like that, but whatever. And Perfect Dark, I don't want to see made into that type of game. I think we have too many of those games, to be honest with you.
Right.
I want a nice, strong first-person narrative with a fun, goofy multiplayer.
Just give me awesome weapons, cool tech,
yeah,
a strong story,
yeah,
Joanna center stage, being a total badass,
Hannah.
And that's it. That's all you gotta do.
So
it's so simple.
That's the only reason why I can't stamp a big old W over that.
nah.
But
you're torn. You're torn. And also, you know what? You know what? While you think it over, you were the news this week. You were that Nintendo news.
I was.
You became the story.
Yeah, I did. I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there wasn't very good stuff happening.
So, just, I think they're all in your head. They're all losers.
Yeah, we got all sorts of L's, but you know what?
Who's the biggest loser? Let's put it that way.
The biggest loser here is Sony.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind.
Because, I mean, yeah, they had great sales. Like, even if you take the other stuff that didn't make the
cut. Sales are great, but those sales are going to be, those are a given. It's Final Fantasy VII, for crying out loud. That game was going to sell well either way.
Yeah.
So, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. All right.
Let's see. Buzz put in our Discord, a LinkedIn post from the Initiative.
Right, which really proved that story to be true because
they're looking for
a game with gadgets totally is Perfect Dark and not any other game with gadgets in it.
Yeah, they're looking for somebody that
has it's a new Ratchet and Clank, Steve.
Scripted various weapons, gadgets, and camera surveillance system for an unannounced project.
So they're doing a new Siphon Filter, a new Splinter Cell, they're doing a new Ratchet and Clank. They're doing, yeah, it's anything. It's anything. You're grasping at straws.
Andy, why are you so upset? Tell us. We're in the hype zone. Why are you so mad?
You know why I'm mad, Steven?
Why are
because
you so mad?
I recently saw in the fourth episode of Pokemon Twilight Wings, I saw Dugong.
Dugong, yeah.
It's a very unfortunate name.
Dugong.
In the episode. And I thought, oh shit, there's Dugong.
Yeah.
In this show.
Yeah.
That's meant to promote Sword and Shield.
Yes.
So he's in the game, right?
Well.
And then he wasn't in the game.
Correct.
You know what I did?
What you did?
I went out, I bought a wood chipper, and I threw my Switch into it because that's how mad I was.
Right.
I was lied
how
to.
How dare you, Nintendo?
And to make matters worse,
yeah,
Nintendo apologized.
They did.
And what that means? It means I was right and they were wrong, and now I'm owed a lifetime. I think every game in the Pokemon series that comes out after the fact, I should get for free for my my personal trauma and injury, you know?
Do you know what
I
say?
That's how I feel. What do you say?
Give me Dugong or give me death.
Yes. You should have given your wife the Dugong before you go to bed tonight.
Give me Dugong or give me death. I don't need Seal. I want Dugong.
Yeah.
Does Dugong. Anybody know what Dugong
more
means?
Like,
because Seal is obvious.
Wait, hold on. Dugong, more like Dugong. Dad, get off the internet.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
It's over. Well, thanks for nothing, Nintendo. And now it is time to get into our mailbag segment. And we have one question in from our Discord, which you can join by going to patreon.com/NDSpodcast. And just $1 gets you into our VIP Discord. This has come from Mikey Kirsch. He says, what's another asymmetrical multiplayer game similar to Predator Hunting Grounds that you would like to see? Please get crazy with it. Now, interesting that you say that.
Yes, very interesting.
Because Mikey Kirsch, 2 weeks from yesterday, so
yes.
Not the next video, but the video after that, Andy is working on a top 5 list for our YouTube. And Andy, do you want to pitch that? Do you want to tell them about it?
Yeah, I'm going to pitch 5 other horror sci-fi movies or IPs that Ilphonic can turn into their next Predator or Jason type asymmetrical game. Mm-hmm. So this is already on our mind since yesterday.
Correct.
So first of all, stop listing on my Google Home.
Yeah.
Kirsch,
it's weird, Mike.
Very alarming.
It's weird.
So you want to go first or should I go first?
I do want to go first because I really liked my idea when we were talking about the article.
Yes.
And that is a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm.
Now, you can make it a – so you know how in Hello Neighbor, it's very creepy. You have like the one person that's the neighbor and he's trying to capture all the kids and the kids run around and they're trying to find keys to get into the basement to unlock the secret, yada, yada. I feel like you can do something that has two phases, mm-hmm. Where the first phase is in the real world and it's daytime and it's all these teenagers that are trying to set traps in the real world for Freddy in the dream world. And you have to like gather items and you only have like it's like a clock, a tick down a countdown. Mm-hmm. You have like, I don't know, 10 minutes or whatever to do like your pre-nightmare stuff. Whether it would be like, you know, like I said, setting traps, but maybe some of them are like giving yourself something that will go into the dream world, like putting it somewhere where it will travel with you to the dream world. Maybe it's like a special item that you can fall asleep with and so that you wake up with it, something like that. So like maybe the daytime takes place in like high school. Or like in the classrooms where you're all like walking around collecting things and then you go to your homes and sleep to meet up in the dream world. And then the dream world will just be Freddy trying to murder you in your sleep, and you're trying to, it'll all be countdown based. So it's not going to be like, because you can't kill Freddy. I don't believe in killing him either, dream world or not. So it's only going to be about survival. It's going to be about surviving the 10-minute timer and not dying. So it's going to be about setting traps, trying to hinder him. It's going to be about hiding. It's going to be about fighting him, not necessarily killing him, but surviving so that you can, you know, keep running away. And then the sun will come up, you'll wake up, and then whoever's alive by the time daybreak happens or whatever, or like your alarm clocks go off, whatever it is. Or maybe in the real world, if you do things like have a alarm clock that sends a text message to like the local sheriff to that you're being murdered in your house, and like he wakes you up or whatever. But if you didn't do that in the wake world, he's not going to do that. He's not going to help wake you up or something like that. I don't know. Like there's really cool mechanics, and like each match could be just 20 minutes. I don't know. That would be my thing that I think they could really get crazy with. It's less about fighting and combat, but it's more about survival and trying to Kevin McAllister the situation. What about you?
So I gave this some thought, and I wanted to build off of your nightmare scenario. Okay. And this is where my love of the franchise really comes into play. So I love the idea of this building trap situation, but I would have that be the daytime portion of the scenario. What I would have it is, I would have, there's a timer for the match, and that's a timer that the player has set because they have to go into the dream world to bring Freddy out.
Interesting. Okay.
So like in the later films, you could pull in friends into your dreams. So that's the group, the core five or three, whatever it's going to be. Those friends all have to essentially hunt Freddy down in the dream world. And they have dream powers to overcome obstacles and fight nightmarish creatures, for example.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. And then if you can get to Freddy and I guess either stun him or wound him and grab onto him as the round ends, to pull him back into the dream world, into the waking world for that matter, and you have traps set up because you can't physically fight him in the real world. Like, right, he'll grab you and kill you. So that's just a trap set scenario. So that's how I would amend your suggestion.
Okay.
But to go with a different IP altogether, I would do Halloween. Okay. It would be like, you know, Michael Myers going after you, but it's two or three friends in the house with a baby that they're watching and they got to take care of while he's trying to get in, Michael Myers.
That would be a great VR game.
Yeah. Wouldn't it?
You just like, you have to cradle the baby, pass it to other people. That'd be sick.
Like, it would cry. You have to like make, you know, be quiet. Otherwise we'll hear you. Oh yeah.
Super Nintendo says, Jaws.
Oh my God.
You can get eaten and come back as a little poodle swimming in the water to distract Jaws and help give your friends time to find a bigger boat.
And it never makes it the poodle. They always die. The dogs always die in shark movies. Mm-hmm. They're the first ones to go.
They are.
They always like fall off the boat, or they jump after a treat or a ball or a stick. Then it's like, where'd Fifi go? And then it's like a puddle of blood is bubbling up underneath the water. And
he
some
is
fur.
Now shark poop.
Yeah.
He is now but shark she is. Poop.
That's a great question.
Chat, hit us up with any other questions you may have. If you want to follow the show, you can do so. We are at NDS Podcast, both on Twitter and Instagram. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/DS podcasts. Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Thank you, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions, for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlays. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our fun cartoon art. And again, if you want to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS podcast. And our store is at dualscreens.com/store. All right, let's check you back in with the chat. Super Nintendo says, or scream, and one of you is the killer.
Ooh.
And you need to get away from your friends to change into the killer.
Well, there's always two killers in Scream, at the very least.
That's true. And the way they do it in Hello Neighbor is the killer is
one of the kids, yeah.
Can disguise themselves as one of the kids.
Yeah.
Which
I would do there's a killer that's always a killer, but there's one secret killer on the team of humans.
That's trying to set everybody up.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Interesting.
Buzz Killington says, are we playing Streets of Rage 4 this week?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
That will be happening for sure.
That will definitely be happening. I don't know. Do we even do Monday Night Mayhem this week?
No, because we recorded on Monday and then life happened.
We'll play some games tomorrow. Maybe Predator?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll play Predator?
Let's do it.
If we get five, then we could just do a private match and one of us could rotate as Predator.
That's exactly how I want to do it. That is the way to go.
Super Nintendo that says it is Game Pass day. It is Game Pass day one if anybody is interested in that. So I guess Streets of Rage is Game Pass
day one. Okay. Is that on PC and console or just console, I wonder?
I do not know.
Okay.
The great Hopefully Game both. Pass delivers again, according to Buzz. Too bad I need a $700 million machine to play it.
It's one demanding rig for Streets of Rage 4.
Awesome.
Is that the new benchmark? But can it run Streets of Rage 4?
Super Nintendo, add me on PSN. Let me know it's you. I am at BatChild27 on PlayStation Network, so I will make sure that you get in like Flynn.
And I'm at Scissor. I am Scissorman on the PSN.
Scissorman, yes. And Buzz Killington says both. PC and console Game Pass.
There you go. So I already got it then for the PC. So that could be a potential game for us.
But is it crossplay, Andy?
Oh, I don't know. Is it? I bet Buzz will tell us in 2 seconds.
That is the question.
You probably will.
Thank you to Maltese for resubbing with your Amazon Prime, Twitch Prime subscription.
Heyo.
Thank you kindly for that. That is 3 months in a row, but 12 months total. So thank you.
What a great guy. Really great dude. Really great people.
Folks, don't forget to check out our new podcast, Dual Screens Versus. That is our second of our seasonal content for this year. Check that out. Also, go back, listen to Andy Explains It All. That full season is finished. It is out, so you can check it out. It's two-player online, Andy, and it is four-player local.
Okay. Is that for Streets of Rage?
Streets of Rage, correct.
Okay, so we're playing better tomorrow.
Just you and I would be able to play. So we need to pick the same.
So we could do a first play if you'd like.
We could.
So PC?
It doesn't matter. I would have to buy it either way. So PS4, Switch, doesn't matter.
Right.
But yeah, PC, I guess PC's fine. Who cares? Right. Anyway.
You know what? Yeah. No, we'll get on Switch. Fuck it.
Sure.
Fuck it.
Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
No, this was a great show. I love drinking on a Sunday night with you and talking about games and shit and seeing our lovely chat and all the familiar faces. I feel great.
Do we have anybody lined up for the Dual Screens podcast this week?
We have some maybes in the mix,
okay.
Which I find odd because it's your home.
Yeah.
You ain't got no excuse.
What are you doing over there?
What are you doing? Just come on the show. We'll do a thing. I'm trying to get Streets of Rage 4. Not gonna lie.
That's
a main attraction. I've also spoken to the developer of Stranded Deep, that survival shark game we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
They're into it.
Cool.
But they've gone silent since I last spoke to them, so I don't know.
Those bastards.
I don't know. But of course, there will be a show on Thursday and the one after. So stay tuned.
There is always a show.
For all that good stuff.
There is always a show here.
There's too many shows on this channel. And they're all amazing.
Hit the subscribe button.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if you're watching on YouTube, do it right now. Hit subscribe before I come over there and I make you regret your life decisions. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Thank you very much for listening to the show. Thank you, Andy, for joining me. Thank you, chat. We love you very much. And as always, please be excellent to each other.